sir, because with all due respect, I could take your son.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show, and we're live on 97.1 Free FM. And try to set that up where Brian's fighting a nine-year-old.
Sir, with all due respect, I could take your son.
Probably not your favorite soundbite over the years, huh, my brother?
Well, I mean, again, you know, if threatened, I'm normally am not, you know, I'm not calling out eight-year-olds. I'm not going to tell a father that I could, dominate his son. And
sir, with all due respect, I could take your son.
But when a man calls me at 35 years old and tells me his eight-year-old son could no doubt take me and kick my ass, I'm going to respond to that threat.
There you go. All right, folks, in studio, a very popular show up in San Francisco, and I believe now she's moving to Southern California. Her name is Emily, and her website is sexwithemily.com. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Look at you, ma'am.
Right, great to see you again.
All right. For people who have not lived in the San Francisco area, can you tell them what you do?
Yes, because when you just say sex with Emily, you know, people get the wrong picture. Because I actually don't talk about my sex life on the show, but I do interview men and women and, you know, all different races and sexual orientations about sex. Like, right. I'm learning along with everyone else, and people for some reason open up to me. And it's not just the people who are doing weird things. It's like I'm at parties and people are like, oh, my God, my husband does this, and what do? And I can't have orgasms. And so it's kind of everyone.
Oh, I see. And you have a background that's political
I've had
sex.
Right? No, oh, yes. And I do have a political background.
Yeah.
I used to work in politics in the Bay Area.
And who, you worked for Brown?
Willie Brown.
Willie Brown, huh?
And Barbara Boxer.
Oh, look at that.
And what did you do for these folks?
You got him elected.
I got him elected. I worked for Willie Brown on his first campaign for mayor. Mm. Got him elected. I was his issues director, and then I was on his transition team at City Hall, and then I left and made a film about him. I'd never made a film, and I decided that it's way more interesting, the characters in Northern California politics, than sitting at City Hall, and you have to wait 2 weeks for a stamp, and right. The bureaucracy isn't fun.
All right. Now, when you interview people about sex, you write books about it.
I'm doing blogs. I have a book I'm developing, and we're doing a TV show.
Is that right?
Oh, all those things. Yeah.
Really? Yeah, man.
But I love doing the radio show. I was live on Free FM in San Francisco until,
Until Free FM went away?
Yeah.
What happened?
Very sad. I don't know.
Bad
we came
vibes?
In one day. It was classic rock. It's, you know, I just don't think that people embrace it as much as they do here. Yeah.
Did you get a heads up on that, or you show up at the station and you walk into the station and hear the music playing and begin to put it together that the format switch, or someone calls you at home, right?
Yeah, they called me at home, you know, at 3 o'clock, and they're like, oh, P.S., at 6 o'clock, we're going to be classic rock. Yeah. So 3 hours. But I always think of that scene in Howard Stern's Private Parts when he goes in one day and they're playing, you know, country music. And
right.
Yeah.
It's over.
It's over. So I was like, oh, well, this is how it happens.
All right.
Well, you know, Rick Dees has a great story about being fired from KHJ in, I guess, 1980 or whenever that was, in 1979. As he tells the story, Tim and Emily, that he came into the station in the morning and all of the disc jockeys in their locker area had cowboy boots.
Right.
You know, they were giving everybody cowboy boots, you know, to match the new format.
Right.
And in his locker... You know, no boots.
Ooh.
Wow, what is, you know, did somebody take my boots? Or, because I see everybody here has boots, and there seems to be a pair missing. So can we locate those boots? Or did somebody take them? Or?
Yeah, there's a subtle way to tell you
like,
it's
sorry,
over.
Sorry, honey,
huh?
No boots for you. That's just be direct, people in radio.
Yeah, there'll be no boots tonight, kids.
Right.
All right. Emily's with us. We have a couple of topics to go over here with you, baby. The 10 tips for approaching women.
I love this topic.
10 tips for approaching women. And, mm-hmm. and by the way, nobody approaches women more successfully than Brian Whitman.
Well,
it's something,
Emily, that I don't, you know, talk about. It's a skill, it's a talent that I don't broadcast or really, you know, want to, you know.
He could have written this in his sleep.
So you really have the skill? You're a player? You've got a pickup artist?
No.
No, you really don't have game? Can I help you? I wish you were here. So you're single?
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Or if you're married and picking up women, sometimes that's tough. But, wow.
Sometimes that's
you.
Easier, isn't it? Forgive me for interrupting, but if a guy is married and he's got that wedding ring, I knew a guy in back in New York who did that. He was not married, but he actually wore a ring because he was his belief that that actually was like an aphrodisiac for some women.
Well, not for me.
A wedding ring?
Yes.
No,
I've heard that too, but not for me.
All right. But here's the first tip: observe something, make a comment about something you observe in the environment, which is especially effective in a grocery store. So, what do you say? Wow, look at that Raisin Bran. 20% less, 20% off if you have a club card.
Right, something. But don't talk about the melons.
Takes her skirt
That's
off.
Cliche. Yeah, shakes her shirt off. The melons are cliche, but basically all these, you know, there's a whole art now around pickup artists. You've heard this, like Neil Strauss's book, Pickup Artist.
Right, yeah. We've had Neil on.
You have? Okay. Yeah, he's great. And I've learned a lot about this lately. I sort of became obsessed with it because it is interesting. You've got these dorky guys who've never had sex, you know, sitting by their computer all day. And like in a week, they're like out there in their funky costumes and, you know, they're trying to be different and they're picking up women. And they, oh, this goes off? Is it going off?
No, it's on.
Okay.
That's
so
on.
Then,
you're on,
it's on, baby.
Baby.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah.
Okay, so this says, for example, observe. This keeps going off, though, this one. No?
Oh, you're,
doesn't matter?
Fine.
Okay.
Fine.
So,
no,
okay.
The other one. You're using the other one.
Oh, perfect. Babe. No, love it. Okay. So it says observe something. Make a comment about, you know, whatever. So it says here, for example, if she's ordering a turkey sandwich, ask her if the turkey is good here.
Right.
Or like, how about this? How about this? Free range?
But see, don't most people want not to be bothered? Like, for instance, I was with my wife up in Ventura, in the city of Ventura, and she was shopping for like, we were in like one of those secondhand stores that tries to say they're an antique store, but it's just, you know, somebody else's crap that they don't want. They're trying to offload. And I'm looking through postcards while my wife is, you know, like cruising around. I'm looking through postcards. And a guy says to me, he goes, hey, he says, what city are you looking for? I said, I'm just looking. He says, well, are you looking for anything specific? I said, no, I'm just looking at the postcards. He says, well, you know, where are you from? And all of a sudden, my wife comes up and she goes, hey, he doesn't like to have contact with anybody.
Never, only in this room.
No, but she was right. She was absolutely right.
You don't want small talk.
Yeah,
but was that a gay
hit?
That's
exactly what I was thinking.
No, I don't think it was. It was a guy who was also like married, and his wife was there. I think he was just trying to, you know, make a conversation.
His wife is boring him.
But here's what I do on airplanes, and this is how I operate in airplanes because I don't like to fly for 5 hours and have idle chit chat with the person next to me.
Me neither.
So what I'll do is I'll lay a heavy, either racial or child molestation joke on the guy next to me.
That's really smart.
And when do you time that for takeoff, or when do you hit that?
Right. No, as I sit down. Like, as I sit down, I got my pillow, my blanket. I'll hit him with a radical joke that's wildly offensive.
Do you really do this?
Yeah. And I'll see what his reaction is. And they usually shut down for 5 hours. It buys that 2 minutes of embarrassment buys me about 5 hours of silence.
Right. But what if you get a guy who laughs at the joke and then hits you with an equally socially inappropriate joke?
Oh, then it's a great 5-hour trip because that's, you know, it's one joke after another.
No, it's not. No one's that funny. You don't want to talk to them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the same way.
Get drunk and become idiots.
I do not like talking to people on airplanes because I get my most work done then. I can like focus or I can sleep. So I just feel like, where are you going? You going home? I'm like, yes, no. One word answers and then I open my book.
Right.
I will not make eye contact. You can't make eye contact because then you're dead.
Yeah, there was on the way back from Oregon, there was a chick sitting next to me, and the guy across the aisle is picking up on her, and I thought they were together, and I actually offered the guy my seat because I thought there was a couple, and he said, no, I don't even know her, but he picks up on her on the way down from Oregon to Los Angeles, and she works for a phone company, and she's like mid-level management, and her job is to hire people to sit in a Costco and sell that particular phone service. You know, it's a cell phone service, right? And so it's not like a great job. It's not a crappy job. It's just a job. And she said, it's really tough for me to find good employees because they're, you know, people at this level, when you're offering them 10 bucks an hour, they flake. Sometimes they don't show up.
Right.
They drink on the job. They smoke weed during the breaks. I mean, it's real tough to get a $10 an hour employee to really work.
Right.
So he says to her, he says, I know what you mean, because last time I flew into L.A., my limo driver was like 10 minutes late, and I called him to see where he was, and he lied. He said he was out in baggage when he was, you know, he wasn't out of baggage, and he tried to impress her, like this mid-management level chick, with, I know what you mean, because sometimes my limo driver's 10 minutes late, right? She completely shut down after that and never talked to him.
See, it's such a fine line. I had a guy that I met once, and he was kind of picking up me. And within the first 3 minutes, he mentioned his, like, Rolls Royce and his three houses. And I stopped talking to him. I turned away. Like, that is such a turnoff.
Yeah. See, I do the exact opposite. If some person asks me what I do for a living, yeah. I usually say I'm in like an advertising.
Yeah.
Because it's a real vague area and nobody, it's not that interesting and people don't care. I said, yeah, I sell advertising for newspapers. And they stop talking because they think you're just like an idiot.
Well, yeah, if you say you're on the radio, too, then, the follow-up is, where and what time is your show.
Right, and what is the show all about, and are you political, and is your partner calling sick sometimes? I mean, it's a whole run.
I agree that I do that, too. Yeah. I stop. Now, I used to think, oh, it's really cool, I love my show, and now I don't want to talk about it. But let's say you do want to pick some of them up. You want to observe something, and you want to make it kind of cool, not like, oh, can I buy you a drink?
Right.
And what they say in this whole, pickup thing, too, is not only observe the environment, but you could just be like, they say you're supposed to observe something on the woman, and it kind of like, oh, so, I like your necklace, or where'd you get that? Is that kind of, antique? And you notice something, you compliment her, and
then you wait for her reaction.
You wait for a reaction.
And how do you know she's interested?
You have to be kind of funny and you have to be not. Okay, well, the whole pickup artist thing is you kind of got to do these things called negs where you kind of put the woman down. This isn't the first step, but you kind of say, God, is your voice always that high? Or, which I'll get to our next topic. Or, God, you kind of have big hands, or you turned her friend. You always talk to the hot, girl's friend.
Oh, I see. They talk to the ugly one.
Everyone talks to the hot girl.
Right.
Right? So the hockey, you're like, is she always this loud? And you kind of play with her. And women kind of like
that. So you insult them first.
That's what these people say.
You're right.
Not so into them because the chick you want to sleep with, everyone's into her.
All right. So if you insult a girl, they're more intrigued by you than if you compliment
her. Even if you're funny and you're more like, God, you're so, like, guys who are
like if you say, like, you know what, in that dress, you look like an effing pig.
No, do not comment on weight ever.
No. What about, is that stubble permanent, or you didn't just shave today?
Yeah, these aren't so hot. But
are there two or three hairs growing out of that mole?
You can't go. It's got to be a cute nag. Like, does your friend always laugh? Do you laugh? Are you a really high pitch? You talk a lot. Like, it's.
Oh, I see.
Works.
Right.
How about you look thinner hanging out with her?
Honey, weight things.
How about this?
You're going to be alone for a long time.
How about this?
Even if her ass looks fat in the jeans, you never tell her.
All right. As far as the negative goes, how's this? Geez, what are you doing here in Gelson's? Look like you don't have enough money to shop here.
No.
No?
No. More like you got a lot, a big cart there. You got a lot of food there. You must be holing down for the winter. You're eating alone. You know how to cook? Or you have any friends?
An earthquake?
Party? Right. Something. Like earthquake. That's benign. But wow, you're going to get fatter.
All right. And the second one here, it says smile. All right, and that gets you a long ways when you smile at somebody.
Confidence is huge, and you walk in the bar. I keep saying bar, but who wants me to? You walk into the room, the party, the Gelson's, wherever. You keep your head up. You're not like, and even if you notice her, you don't stare for more than a second. You kind of keep going with your cart, and then maybe you're like, "How are the apples today?" Don't say melons because that's cliche, but.
What if her cart's full of melons?
Right. I mean, you wouldn't mention
apples.
She's got
50 melons in her
cart. I know
this
is kind of cliche, but, they must have some good melons here. And then you're funny about it.
Right.
But I think it's the eye contact. It's a smile. And it's not the lingering, lecherous smile.
What about a soft touch on, her shoulder that doesn't linger? I mean, but just kind of, two or three kind of brushes against her physical contact.
Women love the touching, but I think Gelson's, for example.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Don't
you get yourself maced though if that happens?
Sometimes
you start touching her, groping her, and all of a sudden you're grabbing her breasts and
yeah. Well, does that happen to you,
no.
Brian? Have you squeezed women's breasts inappropriately?
No. If you notice, I said just kind of touch her shoulder.
Right.
And
oh, I'm
just
sorry. Tim has
paw, just kind of paw at her, and
yeah, that's a good idea.
Just
paw at her and grunt like you're a caveman. all right, it says smile. The third one here is do not hesitate. If you hesitate in your approach, it tells her that you're not feeling confident.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's totally right. It's a 3-second rule here, like I was saying. When you see her, it says either you can't stare. What I'm saying is you either notice her, and she barely notices you, and you keep walking, and then you meet her down the, fast food aisle or whatever, the snack aisle. Or if you look at her, for three, you have to within 3 seconds say something, because then you're
right. You can't just like
lurching.
Hover around.
You can't. You have to be confident and smile. And it's so hard for guys sometimes, because you're gonna be like, "You're really pretty. Can we go on a no?" But you're like,
"You're pretty."
Hey. God, crazy. You can even, like, you know, crazy weather. Yeah, yeah, you got it, too, with the rain. You know, it's been raining.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter really what you say. The chick knows if she's into you in the first couple of seconds.
That's not true exactly.
That's not true?
Men decide who they're going to sleep with in 3 minutes. Men grow on me.
Right, I see. All right.
Yeah, women can talk themselves into men, where men know in the first 3 minutes that they're going to sleep with someone or not.
Yeah, it's tough to talk yourself into a woman.
I know, but we can do it because we're more maybe cerebral, and if guy's funny.
Yeah, it's possible.
So, Emily, you reject that theory, because I've heard it said for years that a woman decides almost instantly whether she'll sleep with the dude or not.
I reject that. I think men do it, and women, not all women, sure, some women decide that I'll sleep with that guy because he's hot, but as far as, like, relationships, there's a lot of women who are like, who I know and myself personally, like, I'm not sure, I'll go out with him again. You find more women doing the second and third and fourth dates that they're not so sure about. And men, I know, are like done. They're like a second date, don't want to sleep with her, and they're done.
Right. Now, how do you, all right, let me see. The fourth one here is, and again, these are our tips on how to approach women. The fourth one is positive body language. I'm out, man. I walk around like a question mark. If you approach hunched over with your head down.
Yeah, how does scoliosis go over?
You're sending
not so good, baby.
I mean, if my orthotics are hurting me one day, man.
I tell you, man.
It's pass just on. Looking straight ahead and walking confident. Striding. It's the walk. What'd you say?
Tim just put, you know, Tim went his orthotics, man.
Man,
he
I tell
all
you,
all
man.
All his weight, I mean, and I mean all of his weight, will shift with each step from his right to his left.
That's true.
Foot, and
all
it's
right.
A rough look.
It says number five, not too fast. If you walk over too fast, it could likely trigger her internal alarm.
Right. Like, oh my God, the place is on fire, or do I know you, or you're a stalker is what we're thinking.
You get in your face too quickly.
It's the stride and the walk. Like, it's the confident stride.
Have you ever slept with a guy who picked you up in a public place? Like in a restaurant, not like a supermarket?
No, I've been asked out so many times in the supermarket, especially in LA, and
is that
I'm
right?
not. Yeah, because
you've
I'm
never
like,
gone out with one of the guys.
Not one of the supermarket men, but I have gone out with men that I've met, you know, at a party.
Wait, why wouldn't you go out with the supermarket again?
Because it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and he's like, "Can I have your number?" He's like, "Oh, I'll help you with that," because like I am truly fumbling, not damsel in distress, but I'm always caring too much. I'm like, "Sure," and he puts it, and he was really kind of hot, and he was like, "Well, I'd love to take you out sometime. Like, what do you do?" And he was cute, but I was like, I'm going to give him my number, and then it's another. So I said, I'll take your number.
And you never called him?
No.
Oh, that's too
something
bad.
About the daylight supermarket thing is like, I don't want to give him my number.
So you never date like a guy you met during the day. It's got to be like a night dude.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it was like a night party or a friend's party, you know, Super Bowl party maybe. But like random supermarket is tough, even though we're talking about Gelson's. But I was also kind of seeing some, I don't know. I don't know what, I was in a hurry. I wasn't in the mood. But I'm not saying never. Like, I have met people in change spaces, but the supermarket doesn't do it for me.
Emily, don't a lot of guys make the mistake, and I've done it myself, of violating a woman's personal space? There's kind of a buffer of space between people that is comfortable, and
yes.
Some guys just get right up in a chick's face.
Right, and you won't leave her alone. Like, the guys who can't take any signals, and they just keep talking and talking and following you around, like, they have no chance. Because we did decide in the first 3 seconds if we were going to at least talk to you that night. So there is personal space, and if you get drunk, you know, keep getting in your face, can I get you a drink, or you don't let you, oh, where are you walking to? I mean, that's annoying.
And
that'd be cool.
How soon should you start lying to chicks? Immediately?
I think about what? What are you going to lie about, Tim?
Not about your job, about you know, where you went to school, you know, how you did in school, what athletics you played, you know. Start BSing them early.
No, I don't.
Keep them on their toes. I mean, but seriously, isn't life...
I think the lying comes later, like when you cheat.
No, I think the lying should come right away. Because you got to keep people guessing whether you're telling the truth or not.
Right, and you've got to get used to lying. I mean, you know, you've got to, you know, that's a skill. Do I lie?
Yeah.
I have lied in relationships. Yes,
like about what? No, not about the cheating part, but about the early part, dating.
Have you lied about your career?
Do you lie about your resume?
To everybody, to prospective employees and to
employees are fine. Everyone... cheats on the resume. Didn't Clinton say that?
Yeah. The first date is it's all a lie. I mean, I don't think that I'm surprising anybody if
it's all covering up. You're right.
Yeah, that first date is you're lying, she's lying.
Well, you're showing your best self.
Yeah, but like Brian would never say. I see a psychiatrist and I'm on antidepressants on the first day.
Right, and I also, what you don't see under this shirt is some psoriasis.
Right.
I mean, you know, who would say that? It's almost like...
Brian wears a space suit on the first date.
That's right.
She doesn't need your emotional conditions, and she doesn't need to know about your skin conditions either on the first
date. Okay, so then call it if
that's
what
omitting.
You will.
That's omitting. That's not lying.
Well, I think it is.
It's lying by omission, I think.
At dinner, she wants to hear about your psoriasis on the first date?
No, that's why I don't mention it.
Before appetizers get there? No, honey, that's omitting.
Well, Emily, how would you like it? If I met you at your friend's Super Bowl party, where you indicated earlier you're comfortable meeting guys, and you and I had a little conversation, and we were kind of getting into the conversation, and I didn't tell you about my psoriasis, and then fast forward 3 weeks,
and you're busted out,
right? And we're in bed for the first time, and you notice a skin condition. Wouldn't you think, oh, this mother effer, this guy, he didn't tell me about this psoriasis.
Is it and contagious?
No.
You'd feel lied to, wouldn't you?
Well, no. on the same level, if a chick was walking around and the first 3 weeks you were dating her, she was wearing a padded bra, and then you finally got the bra off, and you're like, wait a minute, you're like my friend Steve here, ma'am.
That's a little presenting.
I mean, that's also lying.
If you walked around with a pair of socks in your pants, too.
Yeah,
but
that's
don't do
lying
that,
as
right,
well,
Brian?
Right? Yeah, guys usually don't do that.
There's omissions. In fact, you shouldn't tell. This is all the, experts. You shouldn't tell too much on the first date.
But see, I think if you tell enough on the first date, if you really tell them what you're all about, a chick you could then say, "Listen, I'm not into you," and you wouldn't have those 4 weeks or 4 months together where you guys are BSing each other.
But you had 3 weeks to. She likes you. She's in bed with you, and so you got a little skin condition. So
yeah,
what?
But
it's
she's
not got.
But she's got to wear goggles because his skin flakes are blinding.
How bad
her.
Is it, Brian? Tell
no,
me.
It's not. It's not that bad. I mean, Tim is singing it. It's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
Stuff you can omit. You don't have to tell everything right away. But like lying about your job and your school.
What about the psychiatrist?
I'm in therapy. I talk about it.
Would you feel offended if you and Brian did go out for 3 weeks, you got in bed, and he's all busted out, he's all red and cracking, and he says to you during sex, would you mind just scratching my shoulder where my psoriasis is because it's really flaring up while we do it? Would that turn you off?
That's kind of a buzzkill.
What if I gave you the ointment that's prescribed for it, and I asked you to seductively apply it to the areas where there are red flaky patches?
Sweetie, maybe like the third year.
All right. Emily is with us. SexWithEmily.com is her website. And she had a very popular show up in San Francisco, and she's moved to L.A.
Almost.
And looking to do radio or TV or something down here, right?
I love radio down here.
There you go. All right, it is the Conway and Whitman Show, and we're live at 97.1 Free FM.